Hello there and welcome to Inspector Paranormal. Tonight we're going to be heading back to the mid-2000s and the unassuming suburbs of Cheshire as we have a terrifying encounter with the Whittington Phantom.
It was like the dunk as somebody walking and then quickening pace.
The footsteps walk down the landing to our bedroom and this face appeared by the side of me.
Episode 2, The Whittington Phantom. Hello there, I'm Tom Barrow and welcome to Inspector Paranormal. Tonight we're heading to Whittington, a quiet suburb west of the town of Northwich in Cheshire. We'll be hearing from two eyewitnesses who are actually old friends of mine called Claire and Ash. Their bizarre and rather scary story has stuck with me over the years, and even I firsthand witnessed some of the bizarre goings on in their first property. More on this later. Believe me, it's a story that deserves to be heard, and it might just give you second thoughts about your home renovation plans. As ever, I'll also be joined by our team of experts who'll be putting their best historical, sceptical, and spiritual minds forward to try and figure out what happened. The house in question is currently occupied, and for that reason, its exact location won't be identified. It will be referred to throughout this investigation simply as that Whittington house. So today, Claire and Ash live a relatively normal married existence with two kids in another house in a different part of town. However, we're going to go back to 2002, where the young couple were just starting out. So did he sweep you off your feet then?
No. Definitely not.
So that's Claire talking about her husband, Ash. She's now in her late 30s with dark, bobbed, shoulder-length hair.
We started going out towards the end of January, and then on St. Patrick's Day, which I think is in March, he had quite a bad car crash. He had both of his arms in plasters after that. He didn't break them, but he had really bad cuts and had to have plastic surgery on them. So I spent the first couple of months after that looking after him, really, which cemented the relationship, really, because he couldn't get rid of me. We moved over to France for 6 months and did a season airs snowboarding for the winter. So December to May we were there. And then because we'd lived together and it was really intense being in another country and stuck in a little chalet room together, and when we got home, we decided that we could take the next step and buy somewhere. So we started looking straight away, really, and we found that Whittington house in the October. The house really reminded me of my granddad's. Even when we went to view it, it had the same picture in the kitchen that he had, and it just felt like fate, really, that we should buy it. So it was an end terrace, so it was reasonably large for a terrace. Upstairs, we had 3 bedrooms, and then downstairs, there was 2 doors originally that went to the same area. You had one to the dining room, one to the front room, but it was open plan, so we ended up blocking up one of them doors. So we walked through the dining room, into the front room, and then you'd go into the kitchen, and then the bathroom was at the very, very back.
When you first moved in, did you feel anything, or did it feel like a normal home?
At the start, yeah, it felt normal. I think because we hadn't had a place really before, you're just kind of getting used to it and used to the creaks and, you know, the darkness and all the rest. I mean, altogether we lived in the house about 9 years, so I think it was probably a couple of years in that we started to kind of think, what was that, or just little odd noises. But we joked about it a lot first and used to just talk out loud like there was someone there, but we didn't really think much of it. There hadn't really been anything big that had happened. It was just us really making a joke out of it and not taking it seriously.
So like 2 years, that's quite a long time, because normally in horror films or stories, it's normally the first day or the first week where things go down very sort of quickly, but 2 years, that's quite a long time. Did you do anything differently to the house? Did you do any work or renovations?
Yeah, we ended up with new kitchen. I mean, eventually, new kitchen, new bathroom. Like I said, we boarded up one of the doors, so we changed the layout of it a little bit, so the front room didn't have its door anymore. So maybe we disturbed something in the process. We always thought it was a lady in the house, so we just used to, especially in one corner of the front room, we used to have a single armchair, and we used to chat to the armchair like the lady was there. I have to think of a name. I think it was Peggy. But we used to talk to her just because all the little feelings happened, and I don't know, it was just to kind of keep some peace and think that if you were nice, then then nothing bad would happen. It would all be friendly, and that they might want some like nice new owners of the house.
However, the couple's optimism would soon be short-lived, as Claire recalls the events of one evening in May 2005.
So we'd gone to bed. It was obviously late at night. We were both asleep. And we heard really loud, prominent footsteps. The footsteps walked down the landing to our bedroom. And obviously loud enough to wake both of us up.
So did you actually think it was someone in the house?
Yes. Yeah, we both did. It was that loud. To wake us both up, we're not dead light sleepers, so to wake both of us up, yeah, it was really prominent. Ash jumped up. I think it was a pool cue that was by the bedroom door, so he jumped up and grabbed that and went out to investigate.
To be fair, if I did meet somebody on the landing, I don't think the first thing I would think of was to swing. I think I would scream and throw the pill cue away.
That's the voice of Claire's husband, the always affable Ash. Now in his early 40s, he is tall, with an athletic build and shaved blonde hair.
It was one of them, instinctively opened the door, expecting somebody there, but no, there was nobody there. Now, the light switch was on the opposite side to our door. So you had to walk down the landing and then turn the light on.
As he went to go and check, it went quiet. And then I realised that that was scaring me even more, because then I wanted to know what Ash had found, what he was up to, where he'd gone, why it had gone quiet.
I turned the light on and then I started going into the rooms. Middle room was clear. Back bedroom was clear, so I had to go downstairs, and there was nobody in the house whatsoever.
Did you think someone was in there?
Yeah, you totally expected it, because the way the footsteps were, it was like a heavy person, like there was a physical presence in the house. If you go down the elimination route, plumbing, no, it couldn't have been the plumbing. Couldn't have been house settling, because otherwise it would have done it every night. Central heating wasn't on, but it was like the dunk, 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 as somebody walking and then quickening pace. It was quite scary.
We're now going to open this up to our panellists, and tonight we're joined by internationally renowned psychic medium Jackie Dennison. And on the sceptical side of the coin, we have our resident naysayer and chief debunker, Tom Page. So welcome all to the podcast. We'll start with you, Jackie. In your experience, how common is it that refurbishments can disturb the dead?
That happens quite a lot, especially if the people who had lived in the property beforehand really loved that house and maybe like to still visit. And in their view of things, they're still seeing things as it was when they were living there. And if someone is, let's say, knocking a wall out, putting a window in or a door in, or changing the structure of the inside of a house, then they will have a say in things that, you know, even though it's not their property anymore, they will either like or dislike it and will come down and have a good nosy. Yeah.
So what do you think happened that night?
To hear footsteps, like Claire and Ash heard the footsteps. Firstly, I would rule out, you know, is it a mid-terrace? Is, you know, are the people either side, do they go to bed at a certain time? Is it, you know, the staircases are next to each other, so can they hear that person going up the stairs because it's so quiet? You know, it's at night time. But to hear the steps walk up the stairs and then stand outside the bedroom door, that's taking it, I say, one step further. It's very difficult for spirit to make noises like that, and they will use whatever they can to let you know that they're there. It could be that it's just, again, a residual sound of that person coming up the stairs, that that's something they've always done when they lived there. Is there a reason for that happening every night? Is it the time of year? Or does that person who's coming up the stairs not like what's going on in the house? So therefore, this is my house. You've no right to change things around here. So there's a number of different reasons why they would make noise, but it is quite difficult to hear the sounds of the footsteps for like a full manifestation. It's really difficult to do that. The other thing you have to remember, though, if you're sat in the daylight and you've got the sound of, you know, the street outside, you've got everything going on around you, you've got a different vibration because it's daytime, and you can feel very, very comfortable in that situation. But come nighttime, when your mind automatically switches to a different thought pattern, then you're already on edge.
So, Tom, what are your thoughts on this then?
I think with it being an end terrace, I can only put it down to my own experience, but at our old house, you could hear every single footstep next door, coming downstairs, walking through the bedroom, everything. So it seems to me like if you're asleep and you hear footsteps, it more than likely would be next door. If you jump up and it wakes you up, you're immediately going to panic, aren't you? You're going to think, oh, someone's in the house. Especially when you're half asleep, you're not really with it, are you? You make odd decisions, if you like. But I think if they've been asleep or, you know, half asleep and they've heard it, your partner would think, what's going on? And then it's that sort of build-up of anxiety almost and thinking, oh, what's going on? You know, and you bounce off each other a little bit. And I just think there's more than likely next door moving around. I think it's a fight or flight reaction, I think, because you want to believe or you think that's possible. Your natural reaction for your body is to prepare to have a fight or run away. When you're in the dark, you can see less, so your body's natural reaction is to be more aware.
So we're now joined with our resident historian, Eli Lysett. So, Eli, what do we know about the wider area of Winnington then?
The actual area of Winnington is one of the oldest continually inhabited areas of Northwich in total. You had the Battle of Winnington Bridge and the Civil War in 1659. You've got a Roman cemetery at the bottom of Winnington Hill. And it's actually in the gardens of houses in Winnington where we find traces of the old Roman fort. And as that backs away and becomes the area we today know as Castle, that's why we know it as Castle, because that's where the Roman fort was.
As this property is not a public building, is it more difficult to find out the history of the house? And if so, is there anything that stands out?
You're quite right. With a private dwelling, you don't have access to that wealth of information that you get through public records. But there is still quite a bit of information to go at if you know where to look. Now, at the turn of the 20th century, in this particular house, we had the Isherwood family living there. William, he was 50, and was a boiler stoker at ICI, or Imperial Chemical Industries, as they were called, which was just across the road, and his wife, Eliza, 46 at the time, as was their daughter, Margaret.
Right, so it's a long shot, but did a Peggy live here?
Well, when I was looking into the history of the house, I found several references to the family, the Isherwood family particularly. And of course, then it struck me that Peggy is a nickname for Margaret.
Wow, the hairs on the back of my neck have literally just gone up. That is fantastic.